Welcome to episode 19 of Artists Mean Business. Today I'm here with Sophia Nolly Allison, teaching artist and photographer. Welcome.
Hi, Jess.
Well, first, you know, I always like to start out the podcast by asking the very simple question, when did you know that you were officially, air quotes, an artist? Was there a moment when you said a declaration that you are a photographer or a teaching artist?
I think I always called myself an artist because before I was a photographer or a teaching artist, I studied theater, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to act. I wanted to be a part of the theater world. And as I got deeper into that, I realized it was not my desire. I really hated it, actually. And I became more focused on how can I use art to inspire people or to empower people or to make a difference and tell a story. And that's when I started to move into the world of the visual arts and being a teaching artist. And I think as a photographer and a teaching artist, I just recently started taking myself seriously. And there have been people that have definitely opened doors for me and look at me and see me as those titles. But I don't think it was just until recently that I believed it, even though I've been doing it for some time. And I think calling myself those names, it's because of different opportunities that have happened or me really seeing that I am making a living off of this. And it is a real thing. It's not just something I'm doing on the side. So that's when I officially realized I'm getting recognition for what I'm doing and I'm getting paid for what I'm doing. So it must be real. But so it's that mix between me believing it and then other people noticing it. But I'm trying to have me believe it more than needing other people to tell me that I am that, that title.
That's a really good point. And I also think it's that reinforcement rather than they're trying to convince you.
Yes, definitely.
I'm thinking more specifically about your practice. As you took on this title and this profession, would you say there were any tools in your artist toolbox or maybe even non-artist related that helped you to be successful in your work?
I think theater helped prepare me for what I was going into because while theater can be very self-indulgent, at the same time it teaches you how to have charisma and how to speak to an audience and how to present yourself. And that was really important. That was a really important tool I learned, how to put on a charm when I'm with people and not deceiving, but just really engage, making sure that you are engaged in a conversation that you're having with a person and making sure that they realize you are passionate about what you're talking about and that you do care about the conversation. So that definitely helped me in terms of relating to an audience or relating to people and building relationships. And I definitely think it's just the mentality I've started to have of just being driven and being passionate and working as hard as I possibly can. I feel like that's something anyone can do, but it just comes with you knowing what it is that you want to accomplish in life and telling yourself you're going to do it no matter what. There are a lot of times where I doubt it myself and I needed people to tell me, know what you're doing is right, know what you're doing is good, but that's not going to happen. I had to believe in myself. So it was going back to, I have to be as driven as possible. I have to be as focused as possible and have that passion. So I think just being able to connect with people, knowing, having the purpose for behind what you're doing and having that drive and working your ass off basically to get where you want to go.
I think there's an element of friendly competition in theater.
Oh my gosh.
That is more pronounced than in other arts forms, mm-hmm. which I think is maybe to your advantage. And then I also think that in terms of having that performance background, the people that I meet, maybe they're architects or even photographers, and they have that specific trade that there is a lack of understanding for presentation. Mm-hmm. And I recently served on a panel at the School of the Art Institute, just talking with students about giving a presentation and sharing an RFP or a proposal. And, you know, there is definitely lacking in some cases about just how to give people an overview
yes.
of your ideas and communicate to an audience and, like you said, tell a story to illustrate something rather than talking about the minutiae. If you are an architect, for example, you don't want to talk to them about the materials. You want them to understand that tactile feel or how it catches the light, but they don't need to know the chemical composition.
Right. That, yeah, that's definitely been an interesting combination for me.
You know, I always like to think of this podcast as a space for learning, and I specifically like it to address issues for emerging and young professionals in the field. So if you were to give advice to those young folk who are maybe still on the come up and who don't have connections, so to speak, what advice would you give to those emerging artists trying to figure things out?
I would definitely say do your research, because a lot of the times some of the organizations I'm working for are different artists that I really respect and now have formed friendships with. It's because I did my research and I discovered the organizations I really wanted to work with in Chicago. I discovered the people that really inspired me and focused on making those relationships. And just believing in yourself and not being hard on yourself. I wish someone told me not to be hard on myself, because there are a lot of times where I just wish I did things better or I was knew more of my craft. But I have to remind myself that I am learning, I am developing, and I don't ever want that learning process to stop. And I also think it's very easy for young artists to, there's that side of there's a lack of confidence and then too much confidence. And I think it really annoys me when I'm around artists that just think they know every single thing, because then what are you looking forward to with in terms of growth or in terms of how you can help other people? And so don't act like you know too much, but at the same time, give yourself credit for what you do know.
That's a good point. I think you mentioned something that also made me think. You mentioned that you did research and you found the organizations that you wanted to work for. So just as a sort of side note, what were some of those organizations for those interested in teaching artistry? And also, I know from experience and also from having a lot of friends in this sector, it's not always just that easy. How did you do it?
I was actually working on a little project where I was just interviewing different artists, a little like side project I did. And I met a young, amazing actress and poet named Shannon Metesky. And she was telling me that she was working with this organization, Step Up Women's Network, and that she was teaching poetry to young girls. And at that time, I was working at a production company, and I absolutely hated it because it was just too focused on money and focused on pleasing clients, and it wasn't making me happy. So after she told me about that organization, I looked them up, and I kind of became obsessed with them. And I would just keep Googling them and researching them and learning about what they do. And finally, all of that time researching, a position popped up for a teaching artist to teach photojournalism to freshman girls. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is too good to be true. So I finally applied, and that was my first teaching position that I ever had. And it was possibly the most amazing experience for me, because Whitney Capps, who is the program's the teen program's manager, she really took a chance on me and believed in me, and that helped open a door for me, because she's worked with different art organizations in Chicago and wanting me to know about what was going on in the teaching artist world. And that opened the door for me to work with Marwin as a teaching artist, and then that opened the door for me to work with Street Level Youth Media. And so just that one position as a teaching artist really opened those doors. But I was with Step Up for 2.5 years, or 2 to 2.5 years, and you know, it took some time for me to really grow and for me to understand what I was doing. And I still have a lot to grow as an arts educator, but it was the first position that really took a chance on me.
Now, I don't know if you know about this network called the Chicago Arts Educator Forum.
No.
Well, it's actually a network of arts educator administrators. So it's not just people in the classroom, although it's open to those folks. It's actually people who are doing work in terms of program management, development, oversight. And because that's sort of this amorphous group and we're all behind computers, often we don't get to meet one another. And, you know, I'll share this in the notes for the show, but there is an upcoming professional development workshop. We do two a year, and it's at the Old Town School of Folk Music.
Okay.
But it's important, I think, for the community of arts education professionals mm-hmm. to learn best practices of other sectors. So when we talk about arts education advocacy, what are some of the successful examples outside of arts education,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
So I'll put that in the notes for the show.
Thank you for sharing.
Of course. And, you know, I think that it's also interesting talking about our roles as educator versus administrator versus artist. And I like to ask the specific question, how do we wear these hats and what business card do we hand out and who are we today? How do you negotiate earning a living as a teaching artist versus being a photographer?
It took some time for me to realize, you know what, I'm not going to care about the money. This is what makes me happy. Because for so long I was doing jobs where I knew I had to make money. This is going to help me pay for my bills and whatnot. But after some time I was like, you know what, I'm not happy. I'd rather be broke and happy and doing what I love than suffering and putting my art second or putting education second. So I actually refuse at the moment to do photography for pay, and not in the sense that I do it for free, but in the sense that I won't just do it for anyone. It makes me really nervous when people approach me and ask me to shoot for an event or pay me to do headshots. I don't like doing that. It doesn't make me happy with my craft. And for some time, I definitely did do that. I would, you know, take pictures for people or photograph different events, but it made me absolutely hate photography because there wasn't a purpose behind it for me. And as a documentary photographer, I needed to have my own story and my own purpose. And when people were paying me or asking me to do a job for them, it just did not feel right. So I strictly focused my attention with finances on receiving money through working as a teaching artist. And it comes with making sure you're smart with your money and saving. And sometimes you are teaching at a lot of different organizations at once. But at the end of the day, it's what makes me happy. And I think that's why I've been able to survive so far. And I just know it's going to continue opening so many doors. And then I'm touching so many young lives. So that's what makes it important to me. And that's how I negotiate wearing the hat as a photographer with this is my purpose in life, to tell stories, but how can I also use my craft to inspire young people? So it's that combination of using photography for myself and what I'm doing or what story I'm telling, and then transferring that into educating young people.
Mm-hmm. And I will say this from the perspective of professional and career growth. When you are an artist, you have to sometimes create a persona for yourself. Mm-hmm. And if you put your name on a work of art, that is going into the book, so to speak, of history. And if you do a sporting event and your work is focused on youth violence or storytelling, then your name is on that forever. So I can understand that you're branding yourself as an artist. And just like Vice Magazine, for example, has a certain anti-culture brand, they would never do a very PC article on the weather. You know,
right,
it's
yes.
just not in their brand.
Right. And that's a funny thing, because I would Google my name and see these different event photos come up, and I would just hate them because I was doing them because someone was paying me or someone asked me, and I locked myself into that contract. And I was like, I'm not happy with it, and it shows in the photography, and I don't want this paired with my name of what I do, because this is not the kind of work I do.
And that's a really good point, I think, to stress with young artists, mm-hmm. is if you're going to put your name on something, maybe even create a different pseudonym or a business name so that it doesn't get aligned
yes.
with you when
yes.
you post it online.
Because I think initially the thought of a young artist is I need to do as much as possible. And while I agree with that, I think you have to be wise at the same time with what you choose to do. Because when I first started, I was like, I need to do everything I possibly can, so I'm going to say yes to everyone. And I just realized it was not making me happy because it wasn't the type of work I wanted to do.
Which I think at the end of the day is a good point. You should try everything, but maybe not make it a public act.
Yes, yes.
you know, I love to end the podcast with this question of, you know, during your career, we all make mistakes. Was there a sweetest mistake that you can think of?
So I'm originally from Los Angeles, and I've been trying to move back ever since I got here. And I've been here for 10 years now. I moved here when I was a junior in high school. And I was literally planning on moving back about a year ago or 2 years ago. And I was like, I have to leave Chicago. I'm just not happy. Nothing is working. And it didn't work. And I think that was a beautiful mistake, that it did not work. And I sometimes would spend all of my money that I was saving to get back to LA. But I realized there's a purpose, there's a reason that I'm here. And it's obvious to me now. And the fact that I have stayed and that I have been working so hard, it's finally paying off. And I see how if I moved back to LA, I probably would have been miserable. I don't think it was time to move back. And now I realize I can't move back until I finish what I'm doing here. So that was a beautiful mistake, not being able to move back to LA and not going through with that.
Before I end, though, I do want to touch on what you are doing here, what you don't want to leave here without finishing. So what is the current project that has you really excited these days?
I've been working on a photography piece entitled Graduation that I've been working on since last year. It's a photo and audio piece about youth violence. And I just recently received the Wiseman Award through Columbia. I'm fortunate enough to have finances to help me complete this project, where I am going to every single school that a student attended during the time of their death due to violence and taking an image of the school. And I'm really focusing on these institutions as a very isolated and stoic and abstract sense. And I will create a huge grid of all of these schools. It will be 100 plus schools, and then there will be audio stations beneath the grid of youth providing commentary and providing their stories, whether they have been affected by violence, or they knew a victim, or just wanting to share a story or talking about their goals and their aspirations. Because I think it's very important as a teaching artist and as an artist, that's what I found important, to create a platform for the youth to be heard. So I've really been trying to get more involved in activism in Chicago, and there's still a lot more for me to do. There's still so much to learn in terms of activism and in terms of how to make a difference with the youth, but I feel like I can't leave until I make some impact on the young people in Chicago, especially those that are directly affected by violence. And I refuse to leave until I see that I have made some impact. Ultimately, I would love to have my own photography organization for youth in the South and West Side, as a way for them to document their stories or express themselves, and just another tool for them to learn and another craft for them to have, because I think there are so many resources that are needed in these communities. So that's the project I've been working on, and I've been talking to different organizations and schools about interviewing students there and continuing photographing every school I can get to. That's it.
That's a really timely project as well. I think that with everything that's happening in the news about youth violence and gang violence and gun violence, it becomes this sort of sensationalized topic that nobody's really talking about the people most directly affected.
Yes, yes.
So I'm personally looking forward to participating and learning. And I also think that when I do these podcasts, it's not just for my own while I'm learning, but it's also for the learning of young and emerging artists. And anyone who is listening to this podcast can really see that over the course of the past year, you've, I think, gotten to a point where you can articulate what this project is about in a way that is understandable and even digestible by someone who maybe isn't in the art sector but can understand why it's important. Mm-hmm. So you're not just sharing what you're doing, but why it's important. And I think that sometimes artists get caught up in one of the two,
right?
Either the what or the why.
Yes.
But I think it's important to be able to craft your pitch, so to speak, in a way that the general non-arts public can understand it.
Yes.
Well, you know, I'm going to make sure to include links to your website.
Thank you.
And if people want to contact you, what would be a good way to get in touch?
Through email or Facebook. I always feel like I don't know if Facebook is professional, but I don't like being that professional. So definitely through Facebook or my Gmail, which I'll provide.
Great. And what is your email?
It's sophia.nahli@gmail.com. And it's N-A-H-L-I, and Sophia's with the P-H.
Great. Well, I'll include that in the show notes as well. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Jess. It was a pleasure.